Lots to get to in Toronto sports this afternoon. The Toronto Blue Jays, unfortunately, seeing their four-game win streak come to an end as they drop the opener against Cleveland this afternoon, 5-2, down at Rogers Center. We'll talk about that for a bit, but in case you missed it, it is also NBA free agency this evening. And a lot of different news going on right now around the NBA, but the most important one relevant to this city in Toronto and Canadian NBA fans, Raptors fans, Kyle Lowry's time with the Toronto Raptors set to come to an end as he will sign a 3-year deal with the Miami Heat as part of a sign and trade with the Toronto Raptors. So you can send us your text 59590. Give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the Blue Jays, your thoughts on the Raptors. Of course, we'll be with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto up until 8 p.m. tonight, talking a lot about Lowry, the Raptors, and what is next for the future of that franchise. But of course, it is our time to discuss today's Blue Jays game as they lose 5-2 to Cleveland this afternoon. Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg with you. Now, please be joined by Jeff Blair of Baseball Central, of course, Writer's Block on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. And Jeff, thanks for doing it, first of all. Second of all, the new additions to this ball club, we've seen a lot of them of late. Jose Barrios with a great debut yesterday. We saw Brad Hand the other night. Today, not so great. Joaquin Soria. But the reality is, as much as you would love to win these games against the Clevelands of the world and, you know, some of these lesser likes, you're not going to win every single game. I think the bigger concern for me, and a lot of people have pointed it out, is that things get tough in the latter innings of a ball game when you've got guys throwing 95, and we saw Emmanuel Clase throwing 101 in the bottom of the 10th there. The Blue Jays' numbers against teams in the final three innings of ball games, the latter stages, have not been particularly great, despite the amazing offense that they've had so far this season. Are you reading anything into those numbers that I think a lot of people have looked into of late?
I mean, unless they want to start shipping guys out, because it seems to me that the guys who have issues with velocity are your best players. I mean, I don't know what you do, to be honest. It's the same guys who are hitting, you know, who are hitting home runs in the second, third, and fourth inning are having difficulty late in the game. I'm not enough of an expert to know if there's an issue with approach or anything like that. I do know that, you know, last year we talked a great deal about how this team was susceptible to velocity. And, you know, people would scratch their head because they'd go, well, it's not like they're a collection of old guys. You know, you would think guys like Vladdy and Bo would be able to handle it. But I don't know why that is. It's a fact. But as I said, I don't know what you do. You're going to pinch hit for them? I don't think so. So maybe in the case of guys like Vladdy and Bo, it's just a matter of more experience. But I look at tonight's game, or this afternoon's game, I should say, and you know, to me, it just kind of reinforces something that, you know, I was told a while ago, and I think it holds true now, even with analytics. You need to see guys that you trade for in different situations, and you need to see how you can piece it together to make it work. I mean, there are going to be days where this team is not going to hit a ton of home runs, and you're going to have to win a game like this one. And Brad Hand, if Brad Hand is going to be at all effective for you, that's how he's going to have to be used. That's why he's here. So I tend to think it's more a matter of just trying to figure out how you put that bullpen together in late innings. I look at that more as a factor today than the Jays being unable to hit velocity late in the game. I mean, I looked at the numbers for the Cleveland bullpen. It appears as if the American League has difficulty hitting some of those guys. So I don't know if you can blame today's game necessarily on that. I think today's game falls on Brad Hand, and you know, let's see how the Jays use him in the future. He's an interesting guy. He's talked to Charlie and said, "Hey, I need to pitch. You know, I need to pitch. I can't go 3 days without pitching. You got to use me at some point in the 3 days." So Charlie's going to have to figure out a way to get him in there, and a way to, you know, to maximize him. And it is going to be a feeling out process, and we saw that today.
So, Jeff, I want to get your thoughts on Kevin Biggio, who struggled again today, 0 for 3, drew a walk, struck out, hit a ball softly there in the 10th inning, and it's been a tough season, injuries and just not being particularly productive at the plate. I know that the Jays have a lot of faith and a lot of belief in what Biggio can be and his presence in the organization, but like, how do you approach the rest of this season with a player who's struggled so mightily at the plate and oftentimes at third base? Like, should his place in the lineup be, you know, taken away a little bit? Should he be playing less? How do you approach that?
Well, for me, Santiago Espinal is my everyday third baseman. You know, you've gone through the deadline. You weren't able to add an infielder. I don't even know if you're focusing on it, but this is the team you have. So you look at it and go, okay, if run prevention is the goal, which it appears to be, you have to ask yourself, where do you put Kevin Biggio to maximize that? Now, it is interesting. I talked to a couple of coaches this weekend, and if you talk to the coaches, they'll tell you they think that Kevin Biggio, that he is a better defender in the outfield than he is in the infield for a variety of reasons. It's not good enough because he's not going to replace anybody offensively who is in the outfield. So for me, Kevin Biggio is a guy that you have the rest of the year. Once Corey Dickerson's healthy, he certainly wouldn't be my first option off the bench for a left-handed bat. I would certainly go with Corey Dickerson. And, you know, what the Jays have to do and what I think they will do in the offseason is they have to come to the realization that as good a person as Kevin Biggio is, and he is a good person and works hard, et cetera, he cannot be an everyday player on a contending team or on a winning team. And I would ask people, look around the American League. Look at every team that's in the similar situation to the Blue Jays and ask yourself, where does Kevin Biggio get as many at-bats? You can't find that team. So this team isn't a finished product. I think we know that their everyday third baseman isn't on the roster right now. Could be a Relvis Martinez in 3 years or maybe 2 years. But this is what you got. And for me, as long as this is what you got, Santiago Espinal has to be my everyday third baseman. If he hits a bit, great. If he doesn't, I would much rather have his glove in the lineup not hitting compared to Kevin Biggio's glove in the lineup not hitting.
Jeff Blair joining us here on Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays losing to Cleveland today, 5-2. Alejandro Kirk is playing quite a bit here. We've got Reese McGuire, of course, still in the mix, catching Hyunjin Ryu. We have no idea when or if Danny Jansen's coming back this season after aggravating that hamstring injury, of course. And we know the issues with Alejandro Kirk behind the plate defensively. The Cleveland baseball team obviously being very aware of that today, just running like crazy people on the bases, trying to steal the bags. We, you know, saw him struggle to block a wild pitch, albeit from Brad Hand, but we obviously know he's not terribly mobile behind the plate. Do you have worries, issues with Kirk's defensive play, knowing that we may not see Jansen and, you know, Reese McGuire's there, obviously. The bat plays, I think, you know, long-term, at least as far as this season goes, but how would you split up the playing time behind the plate right now, knowing that Alejandro Kirk has some deficiencies?
I need to see a little more of him defensively before I come to a conclusion one way or another, but look, I understand people love Alejandro Kirk. There's already a legend that's growing up around him. And people fall in love with guys like that in this city. They fell in love with John McDonald. I'm not comparing them as offensive players, but you know what Toronto baseball fans are like. For whatever reason, they take a liking to a guy. Maybe, you know, they look at his body type and everything. I think this is kind of cute. This is kind of funny. He's a guy who is easy to cheer for that way. But I get back to this. Ask yourself, if you look at contending teams around Major League Baseball, and start with the American League, ask yourself, where does Alejandro Kirk profile as the everyday catcher on that team? I don't think you can find one. That may not be the case next year. It's entirely possible he improves, but if it's me, I see a little more of him, and then I essentially decide that Reese McGuire's got to be my guy for the bulk of the games, And Alejandro Kirk is a guy that, you know, comes off the bench. The minor league season's almost done. Alejandro Kirk's a guy who comes off the bench. Or maybe you let him start. You give him a couple of starts. But it gets interesting when and if Danny Jansen comes back, because now you got to figure out how to use those three catchers, and you're already running into a situation where you're trying to figure out how you're going to use Corey Dickerson. So I'm not prepared to punt on Alejandro Kirk right now, but I just remain skeptical. I haven't seen the type of performance from him defensively that I need to see before I'm willing to say that this guy is, you know, is anything other than a bat. And with Gabriel Moreno coming as fast as he's coming, and yes, he's hurt, but he will be healthy again. And I think at some point you have to ask yourself, what is Alejandro Kirk? He's not going to be your number one catcher. That's going to be Gabriel Moreno. I mean, there isn't anybody in the organization who thinks Alejandro Kirk's your top catcher. Is he your backup guy? Well, is he good enough defensively to be your backup guy? I don't know. We need to find that out, and we will, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, obviously we're going to talk Jays here for a little bit longer, but then we're going to pivot over to Raptors. It's a seismic day here in Toronto. Kyle Lowry heading to the Miami Heat. I guess, you know, your thoughts, the legacy is obvious for Kyle, but what it means for the Raptors going forward, because this is a real inflection point, it seems like, for their franchise, for what the next, you know, 5+ years could look like.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say this all the time, but it's kind of the way I feel. I'd like to know what Masai Ujiri's plan is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really would. I have no idea what their plan is. What their plan is going forward. I'm happy for Kyle that he is going to get a chance to go to a team that appears to be setting itself up to welcome him and to give him another shot at a title. I'm glad they have Fred VanVleet in tow. But I honestly don't know where they go from here. I'm sure they've thought about it, and I'm sure Masai has a plan. Because it's not like it's one thing about NBA free agency. It's not like it sneaks up on you. I mean, we've kind of known what the options for Kyle were probably for about 5 or 6 months right now. Well, actually, going back to the trade deadline. So I'm sure they have a plan. I think Toronto will be patient with that plan. There's going to be enough to like about this team. There's going to be enough guys to cheer for. I'm looking at it from the point of view of somebody who thinks Kyle Lowry has been the most transformative athlete, certainly since I've been in the city, since 1999. One of the most transformative athletes in Toronto sports history. At this point, I'm looking back on Kyle Lowry, at his legacy. I'm waiting for that jersey number to be retired. I'm waiting for the statue of him to go outside Scotiabank Arena. And quite honestly, I'm happy for Kyle Lowry, because I think in a perfect world, Kyle Lowry finishes his career out as a Raptor. We know that the NBA isn't always a perfect world. I kind of like the idea that it appears as if this is sort of an amicable parting on the part of both sides. But guys, I don't know. I don't know where the Raptors go from here. As I said, I'm sure they have a plan. I think what we have to wait on is wait and see what Pascal Siakam is. Wait and see what this organization thinks he is. I will tell you this. I would feel an awful lot better about where this team is had Pascal Siakam had a different type of year than the one he just had. I was willing to. Whatever happened in the bubble happened in the bubble. I think that was such a weird situation and just so mentally draining for a lot of guys that I think you have to just throw that out. Pretend that didn't happen. But what we saw with Pascal Siakam this past season happened. And if it had been a little less the type of year it was and a little more what we expected from Siakam, I'd be comfortable where the Raptors are right now. But at this point in time, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, it is a big fork in the road for this Raptors team. We'll see where things go. Always appreciate the time, Jeff. Always appreciate the perspective. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks, guys.
There's Jeff Blair of Baseball Central and, of course, Writer's Block on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Talking a little Raptors, of course, in case you missed the news. Not only did the Blue Jays lose today to Cleveland 5-2, but Kyle Lowry set to join the Miami Heat on a 3-year deal. It will be as part of a potential sign and trade. No, just seeing it now. Maybe not, Josh. Seeing Shams Charania of The Athletic saying Kyle Lowry is signing with the Miami Heat. So I'm a little bit confused. There seems to be a bunch of different reports out there. Some people saying sign and trade. Others saying that it'll just be a straight up signing. So let's just let it settle for a bit. And when we continue, we'll come back and talk more about the Blue Jays. Here on Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. And then at the top of the hour, we will switch our focus to the Toronto Raptors and what's next with Kyle Lowry on the move to Miami. But we've got some time to get to your text. 590-590, give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the Blue Jays game today as they fall to Cleveland 5-2. It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We're big-time bird-brained, and all we can think about is Blue Jays baseball.
It's a game winner in the bottom of the ninth
on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays falling 5-2 to Cleveland this afternoon as that six-game over 500 mark, Josh. The Blue Jays just can't seem to get over that hurdle. It's the third time they've gotten to that point, still have not been able to get to seven games over 500 as they lose the opener of this four-game series. Definitely a weird one today. Eli Morgan, the young rookie pitcher for Cleveland, who gave up six earned runs against the Blue Jays in 2 2/3 earlier this season. His first start of the year was kind of the opposite today. Went six innings and gave up two earned runs. Vladdy Jr. with a two-run homer in the bottom of the sixth, and then Cleveland getting three in the top of the 10th against Brad Hand as Jose Ramirez hits a big two-run homer to put Cleveland on top by three. What was your overall impression of today's ballgame? Because, you know, as Jeff mentioned, for him, it wasn't so much the offense. He would have loved to score two more runs, but, you know, there's questions at the back end of the bullpen. We saw Adam Simber, Joaquin Soria, Jordan Romano all come in before Brad Hand there in the top of the 10th. I didn't really have any issue with the deployment today from Charlie Montoyo. I thought he pulled all the right strings, and sure, you could, I guess, quibble with Brad Hand coming in there, but not sure who you could have gone to there. Tim Mesa, Trevor Richards both pitched yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're putting Rafael DeLeese out there. Ryan Barucki's had his struggles, and that's it. So, you know, Brad Hand's the guy coming in that spot, and just today wasn't very good.
He was not very good, and I guess you could quibble that he doesn't miss enough bats or hasn't been missing enough bats, and with the extra innings rule, you need to strike guys out, and people will get put their armchair manager hats on and say, well, you shouldn't have used guys yesterday in a tight and not as tight of a game for the possibility that they would have been needed today, and I hate that line of thinking. You got to manage what's in front of you, and Hand just didn't get the job done today. His splits have been good against righties, so I don't hate it from that perspective, but right away you're behind the eight ball when your catcher can't block a ball that should have been blocked, right? Let's be reasonable about it. I know that there are shadows and stuff like that, but that's got to be blocked more often than not. And then, yeah, he gives up a scalding single and a missile to Jose Ramirez. He wasn't very good today. He wasn't very good on Friday. He's got to find it or, you know, that's a real issue because he was brought in here to pitch in leverage spots and have success because he's done it for, you know, the better part of the last five or six seasons. But the major issue is after Vladdy ties up the ball game there in the sixth inning, the Jays had one hit and two walks, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. And that's just not good enough. And we've talked about late and close situations offensively. The OPS is in the toilet. It's in the basement of Major League Baseball. They just don't get it done in those big situations. And we've got 100 games, basically, of sample size here. It's not an insignificant amount anymore. It's a real concerning trend. And I agree with Blair. I don't really know what the answer is. The guys have just got to get it done here. These are your guys, and if they can't get it done in those spots, then you're not going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, it really is a spot here where you're just sort of confused. I mean, you've got all these great hitters. You've got four all-star hitters in that lineup, and, you know, George Springer, obviously one of the best hitters in all of baseball. Heck, he was the AL Player of the Week, and I know it's tough to face 101, you know, from an Emmanuel Clase or these nasty cutters and sliders from Brian Shaw and James Karinchak with the big bender and 96 mile an hour fastball. But if you want to win these games, and especially come playoff time, if you want to win those games, you're going to be facing this every single night, whether it's the, you know, Tampa Bay Rays and the pen that they have, you know, the Yankees, you look at the bullpen they have. Boston's been pretty nasty in the pen this year. Like, it's no easy road to get to the playoffs. And once you do, every single night you try to win these games, it's going to be difficult. So I, you know, struggle to put, you know, really what the issue is. I mean, it's just not easy. We all know hitting's not easy, and that could simply be it. But, you know, the Blue Jays are going to get a large dose of this, I would say, the rest of this series anyways. In these next three games, Cleveland's got a pretty nasty bullpen, so it's not going to be an easy situation for the Blue Jays. Let's grab a couple of texts here, 590-590. Make sure you give us your name and your location, but what are you seeing on the text line this evening?
Tony from Toronto says that Montoyo cost the Jays the game. Why would you use Romano in the ninth inning? Why wouldn't you use your closer in a tie game at home in the ninth inning? Isn't that when you use your closer?
Yes, that is when you use your closer.
Yeah, so I don't really get the issue in that situation. We've bashed some of the decision-making, not using Romano in spots, using him in others. This was the spot to use him. He got the job done. Hand didn't get the job done, right? It's revisionist to say that, oh, maybe you should have pitched Hand in the ninth and Romano in the tenth. You got to manage what's in front of you in that situation, and I have no issue going to your closer in the top of the ninth inning of a tie game. A lot of people don't like the extra innings rule. Like Kate in Waterloo, needs to be tossed. It has hurt the Jays more than it has helped. Will it be gone next year? Yes, Kate, absolutely it will be gone. So I'm sure that's music to your ears. It's a little bit much for me. It's too kitschy. It's too finicky. It's too gimmicky, I guess is the right word. I don't particularly care for it. And yeah, the Jays are now 2-6 in extra innings games, and they didn't score a run with the runner on second. But I don't know. It just, I understand that it can help speed up the pace of a game, but I don't know. It's felt kind of bush league to me since the day it was brought in.
Yeah. There's moments where it's great, 'cause you don't have to worry about, you know, we remember the Canada Day game against Cleveland, yes, a few years ago, where they went into what, 17, 18 innings. And it was just forever. So at least it helps in that aspect that it does speed it up, but it makes things tough. I mean, as poor as Brad Hand pitched today, it's not never a great situation. You're coming into a ball game and there's already someone standing at second, and you're not used to, you know, coming into those situations maybe all the time. The guy's, you know, mostly been a closer his career, and sure, he's come in with inherited runners. It's not like the first time he's ever pitched with someone at second base, but you know, it's one thing to come into a game knowing that there's inherited runners. It's another thing to start a whole inning with the guy, you know, standing at second base. So I'm sure it does take a little bit of getting used to sometimes, but you know, he's a guy that's been in those big situations, and if the Blue Jays want to succeed, I mean, he's gonna have to perform well, and today just was not the case for the Blue Jays as they lose this one 5-2 to Cleveland. When we continue, we'll wrap things up from a Jays perspective, and then at the top of the hour, we'll switch over to Sportsnet tonight. Talk a lot about Kyle Lowry and the Toronto Raptors. In case you missed the news, Kyle Lowry set to join the Miami Heat as a free agent. We'll give you all the details on that. We'll talk to Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet. We'll also take your calls, your texts. 590-590 is where you can reach us on the text line. We'll take your calls at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. But for the time being, it is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, Rob and Josh, on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Jackson, deep into the night sky, straight away center field, and goodbye!
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you for just a few more minutes. Cleveland winning the opener of this four-game series against the Blue Jays 5-2 this afternoon. The Blue Jays scoring their two runs in the bottom of the sixth inning. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with his 34th homer of the season. It tied up the ball game at that point, but Cleveland getting three in the top of the 10th as they come away with the 5-2 victory. But there's still three more games in this series, Josh, and you mentioned it yesterday, and I agree, it's all about series victories, and if you can take three of four against Cleveland, that's important. You wish you could have swept the four-game series. The Blue Jays had opportunities in this one, but the reality is, as much as you would love to just completely bash in the heads of every team that's either 500 or below 500, The Blue Jays are not going to go undefeated the rest of the season. There's going to be more of these games where you go, how did they lose to this team. But if they're winning more often than not, that's all that's going to matter. So just trying to give a little perspective, because I'm sure a lot of people today upset with the outcome, and I can understand why.
Yeah, especially considering that the schedule, you got Boston coming up, and Robbie Ray versus Eli Morgan. That's why they play the games, right? That's the beauty of sports. You never know what's going to happen, but that seems like a real advantageous position. And Robbie Ray was not great today. He probably had his C stuff, and he still gave you six innings, a two-run ball, and the Jays still couldn't find a way to win that baseball game. So it is absolutely disappointing, and it puts a lot of pressure now to really go out and try and win this series. You got to win three straight games to win this series. That's why it's always nice to win the series opener, just because it puts you in a nice position, and you're the other team, the losing team, is the team that has to respond. You have to try and continue building to, you know, off of the first game and that win. So it's a tough spot. You know, Ryu pitching going to be an event tomorrow, his first start in Toronto, two seasons after signing. So very, very excited to see what that's all about. And you got to get that one, because Matt Stripling, you never know what you're going to get when those two guys are on the mound.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting rest of the series against Cleveland beginning tomorrow night. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. Game two of the series tomorrow evening. Hyunjin Ryu squares off against ready Zach Plesac. For Ben Wagner, Tom Young, Andrew Holland, Kyle Norris, Josh Goldberg, I'm Rob Wong. Thanks for tuning in. It's been Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.